Father, today we have gathered here to lift up your name and to worship you. Father, thank you for the snow. Thank you for the beauty of it. God, and how it reflects your beauty. God, thank you that you have washed our sins as white as snow. And Jesus, we can stand here today in your presence because of Jesus Christ and his blood. Father, as we come and look at your word and the story of Simeon, we ask that Holy Spirit, you would reveal us this truth of the scripture. I pray that you would give us power to not only be listeners, Father, but also to be doers of the word. Father, I ask for strength to proclaim your word boldly and to use only the words that you have given me to speak to your body here. I ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to steal one of Mike's four water bottles here. Is that okay, Mike? I'm a little thirsty. There's many fun ways to do gender reveals nowadays. You've probably seen some on Facebook or Pinterest or YouTube. Things like boxes filled with either pink or blue balloons. Have you guys seen that before? Or a cake with either a blue or pink inside, or bubble gum. I've even seen a smoke bomb. Pretty creative there. But we like to reveal things that are exciting to us, important to us, or special. When Rachel and I revealed Donald's gender, I lined up some Scrabble letters on Rachel's belly spelling Donald's name, so that's how we revealed that he was a boy to everyone. But we love putting things on Facebook. We love telling other people important things to us. But why do we get so excited about spreading news about what's going on in our life to other people? Revealing our big life decisions and events that's happened to us communicates to our friends that we want them to hear and affirm what's going on, what's special. It's how we tick. It's just how God made us to be. But do we get excited about a gender reveal or a job promotion or a new move or a new pregnancy as we do about getting to point others to Jesus Christ? To be the one who reveals the truth of the gospel about Jesus Christ to our friends and family members who don't know him yet. For Simeon, who we read about and who we'll read about again, that's what made him tick. That's what he was about. This passage that we just read and that we'll read again comes in the story of Luke. And the angels have already announced the birth of Jesus Christ. The shepherds have gone to see him in the manger. And now we come to this wonderful story of Jesus' parents bringing him to the temple. And at this time, I want to ask you to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 35. Luke 2, verses 22 to 35. It's found after Matthew and Mark and before John in the New Testament. Follow along in your Bibles, or it will be on the screen as well. Luke 2, verses 22 to 35. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, to the word of the Lord. Luke tells us this awesome story here to communicate to us many different truths. But I want to highlight one specific truth today. If you forget everything else, remember this, that God has filled believers with his Holy Spirit so that we can reveal Jesus to the world. God has filled believers with his Holy Spirit so that we can reveal Jesus to the world. And this passage tells us three different ways that God has decided to and chosen to reveal himself to the world and how he continues to reveal himself to us now. This leads us to our first truth in the text, that the law and the Spirit collaborate to bring people to God. The law and the Spirit collaborate to bring people to God. Look back at verses 22 to 24. I'm not going to read them, but as you look through those three verses there, do you notice a reoccurring word that keeps coming up? Besides and the. How about the word law? Do you guys see that in there a few times? Law of the Lord or law of Moses, it says. Some explanation to what was going on here might be a little helpful to give us some background to why Joseph and Mary were actually bringing Jesus to the temple. Well, there's two reasons, and those two reasons are two different ceremonies that they came to perform. The Old Testament in Leviticus commanded or said that women after childbirth were unclean for 7 days. They had to rest by themselves. And for another 33 days after that, they couldn't come near anything holy. If there was a boy. If a boy was born, it was 33 more days of not going near anything holy. Now, for girl, if they delivered a girl, it was double that, 66 days. I always knew that ladies are special, right? They're more rest for the woman. So after those at least 40 days, they had to come to the temple and bring a sacrifice so that they could once again come near the holy things. In Leviticus 12, it says it was either a lamb and a bird or two birds if a lamb was unaffordable. We see here that Joseph and Mary offer two pigeons or two doves. Shows that they were of the poorer class in Israel. So this was the first ceremony that Joseph and Mary came to the temple to fulfill that was in the law of the Lord. The other ceremony that they came to perform was that of redeeming their firstborn son, Jesus, from God. If you think back to the book of Exodus, which is the second book of the Bible, God had struck down the firstborn of the Egyptians in order to bring the Israelites once and for all out of Egypt. But God had spared the Israelites' firstborn. And so because of that, God had said, your firstborn are now mine. But instead of having each firstborn serve in the temple or minister to God, God had set up for the Israelites so that the tribe of Levi was the one tribe that was set apart to work in the temple. But still, if a father and mother had a firstborn boy, they had to go and redeem that son and pay 5 shekels to the temple to buy it back from God. So this is the reason that they came as a family to Jerusalem, to the temple, where the priest would help them to fulfill these ceremonies and sacrifices and thus honor God and fulfill the law. No doubt God had chosen Joseph and Mary for this very reason. They were obedient to God. They were faithful. They were righteous. They wanted to keep the law and thus honor God. It's interesting that Jesus himself was born under the law so that he could save those who were still underneath the law, the Israelites. Jesus had to go through all those things to be circumcised, to be redeemed, and obey the law so that he could save those who were bound by the law. If Joseph and Mary hadn't fulfilled this part of the law, it wouldn't have brought them to the temple. And they wouldn't have had that chance to meet the Spirit-filled man, Simeon. The next part, these next few verses, introduce Simeon to us. Now, if the first three verses kind of highlight the word law to us, these next few verses highlight a very different word for us. Did some word kind of jump out at you, these next few verses? The Spirit, that's right, the Holy Spirit. Little is recorded for us about Simeon. We don't know his tribe. We don't know, you know, which tribe he was from. We don't know his father's name. We don't know his occupation, whether or not doesn't tell us if he was a priest. But what it does tell us about Simeon is that he was righteous. He was devout. He was from Jerusalem. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, meaning he was awaiting that Messiah. And last, as you guys already said, it tells us that the Holy Spirit was on him. This word means it was continuously on him. The Holy Spirit actually doesn't indwell believers until after Jesus had ascended into heaven at Pentecost. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit filled people at certain special occasions, but an ongoing filling presence of the Holy Spirit was very, very rare up to this point in Scripture. So even though we know little about Simeon, he's just an ordinary dude in Jerusalem, he's a special man because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, it says, had revealed to him that he would see the Messiah, Jesus, before he would die. It's also led him to the temple to find Joseph and Mary and that son, Jesus, who was going to be presented. But imagine if Simeon hadn't been filled with the Spirit. Do you think it would have been revealed to him that he would see the Messiah? Imagine if Simeon, though filled with the Spirit, hadn't obeyed the Holy Spirit's prompting to go into the temple courts. Would he have had a chance to meet Joseph and Mary and his eyes to see the salvation, Jesus Christ? Simeon was not only filled with the Spirit, he was obedient to the Holy Spirit's prompting. And the Holy Spirit then allowed him to prophetically proclaim words about Jesus Christ, about Joseph and Mary, their son. Well, there's a cool story I want to share about another Spirit-filled person who obeyed the Holy Spirit's prompting. A very godly woman that many of you probably know. Her name is Tammy Locke. I heard a cool story from Steve and Tammy about their obedience to the Holy Spirit and going to proclaim the gospel to a family member. This was someone that they had been praying for many, many years to come to know the Lord. Although they had brought this family member to church, to programs, still they were resistant to the gospel. One day, Tammy just felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to go and see this person, this family member, and to not only go, but to bring a tract in order to share the gospel with them once again. If I were Tammy, I would think, well, I'm kind of busy, or I've shared the gospel so many times already. I've been praying for years and years. Why would today be the day? But still, she obeyed. And Steve and Tammy went to that family member, obeying the Holy Spirit, bringing the tract. This time, this day, would it be the day of salvation for this family member? Well, sure enough, God empowered them to speak truth and to lead this family member to the Lord. And this family member, her name is now written in the book of life. Her eyes have seen the salvation, Jesus Christ, because of Tammy and Steve's obedience to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Isn't that a cool story? Simeon's story, Tammy's story, it could be your story. Being obedient to the Holy Spirit, going and proclaiming the truth about Jesus to someone who doesn't yet know. Do you know that if you have confessed your sins to Jesus and proclaimed him as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit has come and filled each one of you. You're Spirit-filled. But the problem with so many of us, me included, is that we don't let the Holy Spirit really control us, and we don't listen to his promptings. Instead, we let other things dominate our life, like our pleasures, or other things dominate our time, our money. And so we don't have a chance to hear that still, quiet voice of the Holy Spirit. Why do I say that the law and the Spirit collaborate together to bring people to God? Well, if Joseph and Mary hadn't come to perform those ceremonies commanded them in the law, they wouldn't have had a chance to have Jesus blessed like this. They wouldn't have had a chance to be pointed to Jesus themselves. The law didn't make them righteous, but it showed them what they needed to do in order to seek God more. It says it clearly in Romans 3:20, that no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the work of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. The law doesn't save us, but it brings us to a realization of what we need in God. The Holy Spirit then collaborates with that, convicting us of our sin, softening our hearts to the gospel in order to bring us that next step to trust in Jesus and make our hearts clean again. The role of the Holy Spirit after we're saved is also so crucial. He fills us. He prompts us. He guides us into greater truth. I want to challenge you to pray this simple prayer each and every day. Holy Spirit, fill me today. Holy Spirit, fill me today. Even though when we believe in Jesus and the Holy Spirit fills us, we can be like leaky tires, right? Our minds go wayward from the Lord, and we become controlled by other things and not the Holy Spirit. Though we've been filled by the Holy Spirit, it's vital that we ask him to fill us again and again, afresh and anew, day after day, so that we can indeed be like Simeon, who was Spirit-filled and who helped bring Joseph and Mary to a greater realization of who their son was. This text introduced how the law and the Spirit collaborate together to bring people to God. It also shows us how God's salvation for the world comes through Jesus Christ. Number two. Let me just drink a little water. I'm kind of dry today. This next part of the passage highlights Jesus' role in our salvation. The little baby whom Jesus had just received and proclaimed now to God. Remember, he's filled with the Spirit, and these words that Simeon speaks are from God. Prophetic words about who Jesus is. These few verses that Simeon speaks are the fifth of five different songs in Luke surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. Simeon's song reveals much to us about who Jesus is. Look with me again at verses 29 to 32. It says this, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." I want to take a minute and point out how much it meant for Simeon that he was able to meet the Messiah. Remember that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for that Messiah to come and deliver them out of the oppression. It had also been revealed to Simeon that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah, who happened to be Jesus Christ. And he found that out on that very day. Simeon's first line of asking God to dismiss him shows that he is ready to die. He's ready to be released from the pain of the world, of the suffering, because his eyes had finally seen God's salvation. His eyes had seen Jesus. Jesus here is equated with salvation in Simeon's song. Jesus is salvation. God had been waiting for this right time to send his son to the world, and that timing had now come. Unlike the majority of the Jews believed, Jesus wasn't just a Messiah, a savior for the Jews. The Jews believed that a Messiah would come and save them from the oppression of the Romans, free them from the tyranny of King Herod, who was very evil, and even free them from the load of religion that the Pharisees had enforced upon the Israelites. Hundreds and hundreds of laws that they had to keep. But this Jesus and this Messiah was prepared for all nations, it says. The salvation that comes from Jesus Christ was for all people. Jesus is also called here the light and the glory. It says a light for revelation to the Gentiles. The Gentiles who were more in darkness than Israel would be brought into the light because when they believed in Jesus Christ. But Jesus here is also referred to as the glory of your people Israel. This is a reference back to Exodus 40, when the glory of God fills the temple, and his presence was there visible for the Israelite people to see in the form of a cloud. But that glory had since left the temple because of the Israelites' wickedness, because their hearts had strayed from God. And though God communicated to them through prophets, God's presence was largely kept away from Israel. But now God revealed himself to us, to them, to the Israelites, not in the form of a cloud or a prophet, but as a man, as Jesus Christ. The presence of God was here again in Israel. God revealed himself and his salvation finally to the world when he sent Jesus to earth as a baby. Our belief in Jesus Christ as the only way to salvation is very unique. Well, it's completely unique among all the other world religions. The majority of other people believe that there's many ways to God, This is the way for Americans, but there's many ways for other people to seek God, to achieve nirvana, or to go to heaven. There's a few quotes up here from different world leaders, different religious leaders around the world, kind of highlighting the different ways that different people think. Ikkyu, a Zen Buddhist philosopher from Japan, once said, "Many paths lead up the mountain, but at the top, we all look at the same bright moon." A Hindu mystic once said, "God has made many different religions to suit different aspirations, times, and countries. One can reach God if one follows any of these paths with wholehearted devotion." Last one, Chief Tecumseh of the Six Tribe Confederation says, "Trouble no one about their religion. Respect all in their views and demand that they respect yours." These three different quotes from three different leaders of three different religions all have one thing in common: the belief that people from all religions are still able to reach God and eventually find God through their worship. But guys, this isn't just something that we find in other countries, is it? Even here in the United States, if we proclaim Jesus Christ alone as the way to salvation, we're called judgmental or intolerant. We're called bigoted or narrow-minded. Christians have even been labeled as extremists and churches as hate groups. These things are hurtful. But our belief in Jesus Christ alone as the source of salvation and proclaiming it boldly, like Simeon did, will bring about such types of persecution. What's surprising is that a surprising amount of Christians believe that Jesus is not the only way for salvation. This isn't just general Christians. These are evangelical Christians believe that Jesus Christ is not the only way to salvation. 48% of them believe that God accepts worship from all types of religions. But how could he? How can we ignore passages like John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," or Acts 4:12, "There is no other name under heaven by which man must be saved," or 1 Timothy 2:5, "that there is one mediator between God and man"? God's heart has always been for the whole world, for all nations, as it says here in Luke, to come to him. But that way is only through Jesus Christ. And that's what Simeon is declaring in the temple, not just for Joseph and Mary, but for the whole world, for all of us to hear and believe. Many people still haven't heard the name of Jesus Christ. Many have heard, but haven't yet decided to put their trust in him yet. Maybe that person is you. Maybe you've been hearing the message of Jesus Christ. You've been hearing how he alone is a source of salvation, but you haven't yet committed your life to him. Being a good person, following the law, just won't cut it. Jesus came to fulfill us and to free us from the bondage of trying to be a good person. He alone is the source of our salvation, prepared in the sight of all nations, it says here in Luke. We must receive Jesus. He is the Messiah. He is our salvation. But maybe you've already received Jesus as your salvation and you've been following him. How are you going to reveal Jesus to the world? How will you bless someone with your words this week in Advent? If you have believed, then your responsibility, your command from God is to go and reveal Jesus to other people. You have the Holy Spirit in you. It's not just us trying to do it on our own. The Holy Spirit will lead us and prompt us, guide us to those whose hearts are open. We are God's appointed ones to go and proclaim what Simeon said here, that God's salvation has come through Jesus Christ to the whole world. We've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to go and do this, so that it's not just in our power that we're going, it's in God's power that we go. We proclaim that Jesus Christ is the salvation that God has been preparing from the beginning of time for all peoples, for all the world. And lastly, we bless others. Ultimately, we bless others by pointing them to this Messiah, to Jesus Christ. Once Simeon finishes his prophecy about who Jesus is, what does Joseph and Mary do? It says that they marveled. They were in wonder about what Simeon had said about their son. Simeon's blessing to Joseph and Mary is contrary to how we normally think about blessing other people. When Simeon goes to bless Joseph and Mary, he doesn't compliment Mary's hair. He doesn't say to Joseph, "Dude, that's a really nice tunic you're wearing." He didn't even commend their faith. What did he do? He pointed them to the Messiah. Look at verses 34 and 35 again with me. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Jesus would cause the rising and falling of many in Israel, it says, and in fact, the world. Those who would accept Jesus as their Messiah would rise out of the oppression and humiliation and receive salvation from their sins. But many others, it says, would reject and fall, stumbling upon this chief cornerstone that had been prepared by God. Whether someone rises or falls is based on their trust, on their receiving Jesus Christ as the Messiah or not. So was what Simeon said to Joseph and Mary your idea of a blessing? Blessing others by saying these few kind of verses? How about to end with, "A sword will pierce your soul too"? I know if I ended a conversation like that with Rachel, it wouldn't be a really good one, right? But Simeon here, he's not trying to offend Joseph and Mary. He's not trying to be rude to them. He was plainly speaking the truth, what God had given him, what God had entrusted him to say to Joseph and Mary. And ultimately for us, because it's still recorded for us today. Simeon's blessing was revealing more about the nature of Jesus Christ for Joseph and Mary, and pointing them more closely to God. In this world, we're pointed by many different things. There's billboards on the roads that draw our attention to products or restaurants. There's things on our YouTube page now, our Pandora, even our Google, pointing us to go to this website, go here, try this out, go here to find happiness. There are road signs that point us in many, many different directions, some that we want to follow, some that tell us how to drive, how not to drive. We're being always pointed, our attention's being grabbed in a million, million different ways each and every day. If you ever go to Japan, you definitely want to know what this sign means right here. Disobeying this sign could cause you a $200 ticket automatically. We used to call it the no blue allowed sign. Any guesses about what it is? No parking. It's kind of random, right? No blue means no parking. This famous sign here, a legit signpost in Ireland, kind of gives you too many different directions to go, right? Do you know where you want to go after seeing this sign? It's a little bit tiny, but there's one that says Castle Hotel. You can find me there. Our attention, our soul, is being vied for by the world. We're being pointed here and there and everywhere. The world claims that if we go to this school or if we have this job or this amount of money, this will satisfy our hearts. But in following these sorts of paths that lead to temporary happiness, we'll sell our souls short of what they're really longing for and needing. Too often we trust our own hearts to lead us down the path of righteousness. We trust our world or our friends to really lead us in the way that we should go. Too often we feel like we're in front of the sign, wondering, what does God want me to do? What should I point other people to? When really there is one way, one sign, one person that we need to be always pointing other people towards and pointing our own hearts towards. This is Jesus Christ. Blessing others by pointing them to Jesus Christ will always reap eternal reward, both now and forevermore. Simeon, as we saw, was a spirit-filled man, and he proclaimed Jesus Christ as the salvation from God for all people from all nations. His blessing to Joseph and Mary wasn't a mere compliment or an encouragement. His blessing was to proclaim the truth of God to them. Simeon wasn't a priest. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't from the elite tribe that we know of in Israel. But what we do know is that he was Spirit-filled, which each one of us here today who have received Jesus Christ are also Spirit-filled. Even though this is the one time Simeon appears in the Bible, just one story about him here in Luke, he'll be remembered forever. His role was eternally important because of the words that he said about Jesus Christ, and he was obedient to God and the Holy Spirit. So how will you bless someone else this Christmas? Try taking a step further than what you normally would do. More than a compliment to a friend or a neighbor or a coworker or family member, why don't you try pointing them to Jesus this Christmas season? It might be awkward at first, but you'll be glad that you brought up that spiritual conversation. Remember, we can't control their response to Jesus. Jesus, it says, will cause the rising and falling of many in Israel. And yet we can still be faithful and obedient to the Holy Spirit as he's prompting us to go and talk to different people, to reveal Jesus to others. So when you bring your Christmas cookies over to your neighbor, or when you're going for a walk in this weather, if you're not a cold weather wimp like me, why not let your feet lead you to that person that you've been wanting to bring to church? Bring home one of these invites today. Use it to bless someone by pointing them to Christ. When we step out in faith to reveal Jesus to our friends and neighbors who aren't trusting in Jesus, we may receive persecution. We may be spoken against. Simeon told Joseph and Mary that Jesus would be a sign even that would be spoken against. But Jesus will also cause the rising of many, it says. So this Christmas, choose to bless others by pointing them to Christ. Let's make an eternal impact in the lives of our friends and neighbors and families by pointing them to the Messiah. I'm going to bring four of these invites home today because I have four families that don't come to church, that don't know Jesus, who I want to know Jesus. Bring these home today. We challenge you to follow through and carry out those Advent challenges so that we as a church, as a body, can really make an internal impact this Christmas season. Take an opportunity. When hearts are open during this Christmas season, they're more willing to go to church. Take the step like Simeon did. Be empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit and go and lead someone, point them to Jesus. The Holy Spirit has empowered you and me to go out from here now and to do this very work, this very job. Let's be a faithful church, eagerly waiting for the consolation of our world, waiting for Jesus to come back. And until he does, we have a lot of work to do. If Jesus really is the salvation that God has prepared for all nations so that all may believe, what are we going to do about it? What is your part? What is your role in revealing Jesus to someone? If you have not yet met Jesus Christ and believe in him as your salvation, I urge you to come and talk to me or to Pastor Gary or Pastor Mike so that you can find who this Jesus is, that he really is the light of the world and the glory of his people Israel. If you have met Jesus, then let's be Simeons together. Let's go and reveal Jesus to others. Let's pray. God, thank you for the story of Simeon. Thank you that you choose to use just ordinary people like him, like me, in order to communicate a message of eternity. And God, I ask that if there's any here today who haven't yet chosen to trust in Jesus Christ as their salvation, I pray that you would lead them to yourself. I pray that you would give them the courage to step out and to commit their life to you. And Father, if for those who have already trusted in Jesus and are seeking to follow him, I pray that we would go out and seek to be spirit-filled people like Simeon was, and seek to have opportunities to reveal Jesus to other people. God, would our church be a church of Simeons? Use us, we pray. Let us be your instruments. Let us be your image bearers and message bearers for the world. God, we want to see more and more people come to Christ here. I pray that you would use us, Father, in that grand scheme of salvation, of redeeming this world. Thank you again for sending us your Son, Jesus Christ, as a baby, God, so that we can know you, that we can be in a relationship with you. We're thankful and we eternally just want to say thank you, Father. Use us, I pray. In your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.